Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is our text. They were seeking Jesus. That's what John tells us in his Gospel, chapter 6. All the people we heard about in the reading today, they were seeking Jesus. And that's a good thing, right? We would be thrilled if more people were seeking Jesus, wouldn't we? If family and friends and neighbors were asking about Jesus and were looking for him, and if every single pew in our church were full. And these people in John chapter 6, why, they're serious about it. They're dedicated seekers. They'll go to a lot of trouble to find Jesus, even getting in boats to go across the Sea of Galilee. Some of you here know what it's like to travel quite a distance to get here. But the important question is, why? Why are they seeking Jesus? And since you're here, I might as well ask you as well. Why are you seeking Jesus? What are you wanting from him? Now, a little background may be helpful. Knowing where they come from sheds light on why they're there. I suspect the same can be said of each of us. We each have our reasons for seeking Jesus, and those reasons may change from week to week and day to day. In the case of these crowds, they were there because they were hungry. The previous day, Jesus had fed them by multiplying loaves and fishes, and they had eaten as much as they wanted. They all ate and were satisfied. But of course, as always happens, their hunger returned. The next day, they woke up, and their stomachs were grumbling again. And so they sought Jesus again. Let's go find that guy who gave us that bread. It's almost like they wanted to make him their chief baker or something like that. So when they find Jesus on the other side, he doesn't seem particularly pleased about it. He doesn't say, I'm so glad you found me. He doesn't give them a handshake and a warm welcome, and he definitely doesn't give them more bread. Instead, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Or as another pastor paraphrases it, Jesus says, you came just because you want more free food. Stop it. There's something more important going on here. That food I gave yesterday was a sign. I'm not here just to fill your bellies, but your souls. I'm not here just to provide bread for this life, but for eternal life. I'm not just a rabbi. I'm not just a teacher, as you call me, but I'm the Son of Man. You came all the way across the sea for food that perishes? Would you have come so far and worked so hard if I hadn't fed you? Would you have crossed the Sea of Galilee just for my teaching? You wouldn't have, would you? And yet that's more important. You should be working harder for that food than for food that perishes, food that just leaves you hungry the next day again. Stop it, Jesus says. Repent. So seeking Jesus, it seems, isn't always a good thing. It's not good if you're seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons, if you're seeking him to satisfy your own wants or your own desires. That isn't to your credit, or to mine, or to anyone's. In fact, it's the very opposite, isn't it? To want to use Jesus for our ends, to milk him for whatever we can get out of him, shows just how sinful we can be. It is corrupt, and it is wicked, and it is wrong. And that's true even if the things we want aren't bad in themselves. Even if we want things that are perfectly fine and healthy and even necessary, even if what we want from Jesus is food, if that's all we want, then it is wrong. Seeking good things in the wrong way or for the wrong reason corrupts them. And of course, Jesus does give lots of good things for this earthly life. He loves to give good things. He healed many who were sick. He fed many who were hungry. He is the good shepherd. He loves his sheep and he cares for them, and that includes you. But to love and seek the gifts more than the giver, to love the things that he gives rather than to love Jesus himself, ruins the gifts. It puts them in the place that belongs to God. The people didn't seek Jesus because they wanted him to be their God. They sought Jesus because they really wanted him to be a priest for their gods, for the gods' belly and bread. That's what they wanted. They wanted Jesus to be a high priest of their bellies and a high priest of bread. They wanted to use him to serve their false gods. Those crowds were willing to cross the sea for bread. I wonder about you. Wonder about myself. What would we go across the sea to find? What is so important to you that you would go miles and miles to find it, or you would write a large check for it, or you would devote hours of time to it? What perishable things are you laboring for? And what would you use Jesus to get? We often love the gifts more than we love the giver, and we too need to repent. At this point, the people don't walk away from Jesus. In fact, this sort of piques their curiosity. They want to learn and know more. So they ask him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God? What must we do to be doing the works of God? If we are to labor for the food that never perishes, how do we do that?" They might have been expecting Jesus to repeat the Ten Commandments. They might have expected to hear something about loving God and loving the neighbor. They might have expected him to direct them to prayers or to rituals of the church. But that's not what Jesus does. Those things are all good, but you won't find eternal life through them. Those things cannot atone for your sins. Trying to keep the Ten Commandments will not take your sins away. Loving your neighbor and loving God is good, but it will not conquer death. Instead, Jesus says, "Believe in him whom the Father has sent." What work should we be doing? Believe in the one sent by the Father. Put your faith not in yourselves. Put your faith not in what you can do, but put your faith in the one who was sent. The one who was sent not from across the sea, but from across time and space, who came from heaven to earth to provide eternal life. Believe in the one who was sent to do the things that you cannot do. Believe in the one sent to forgive your sins and to conquer death, and put all your chips on him. If you're going to cross the sea for anything, if you're going to invest in anything, if you're going to dedicate yourself or be devoted to anything, then cross the sea to receive these things, to receive these promises from Jesus. Not for food that perishes, not for food that's here today and gone tomorrow, but for the food that lasts to eternal life. And then the people ask Jesus for a sign. You can almost imagine the scene going on. Lots of people, maybe lots of people shouting things to Jesus. It was quite a crowd. So one guy maybe shouts, "Show us a sign and we'll believe in you." Someone says, "Yeah, what are you going to do for us, Jesus? What work do you perform?" And then maybe another guy in the back saying, "Hey, in the wilderness, back in the time of the Exodus, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They were given bread from heaven to eat. What can you do for us?" The implication is this. "You know, Jesus, the bread you gave was pretty good, but you just gave us earthly bread, and you're talking about the earthly bread that you're talking about, food that perishes. That's why we're back for more. You fed us yesterday and we're hungry again. If you're talking about greater bread, then give us a greater sign." Well, Jesus had done such a sign. The same God who rained down bread from heaven during the time of the Exodus is the one who had just fed 5,000 people in the wilderness. A little different way. In the Exodus, God gave it and it landed on the ground and they collected as much as they needed. with Jesus, they simply passed the bread, and there was always enough for more. But these people were blind. They were blind to the gift, and they were blind to the giver. They couldn't see how great what Jesus had done was. They wanted something even better. They wanted something even more miraculous. They always want more. How often are we like that as well? Jesus gives us one thing, gives us one good gift, and we demand more from him. Jesus provides us with our daily bread for today, and we want enough bread for a week or a month or a year. Jesus provides us with his gifts, and we want even more from him. We heard in the epistle reading about the goal of the things that God gives, about the gifts and the promises that he gives to us. St. Paul said that the gifts we have from God, the promises that are ours in Christ, those are given so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried along by the wind, every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, or by craftiness and deceitful schemes. In other words, St. Paul says that we are to stop crossing the sea for things that don't really matter. We are to stop thinking that his gifts that he gives are no big deal, are just a little bit of ho-hum. We are to see that it is not the gifts that Christ gives that are greatest, but it is Christ himself that is the greatest gift of all. And that's what he wants to give us. Not the sign, but the one to whom the signs point. I often describe it in this way. If you were to go to some famous monument or site, maybe to Lexington and Concord, and you get to Lexington and you stop at the sign that says, "Welcome to Lexington," but you never went further. You never went to the North Bridge in Concord or to the battlefield. Have you really been there? Have you really received the thing that the sign is pointing to? And the answer is no. The bread that Jesus multiplied in the wilderness is like a great big sign, but you don't stop at the sign. You don't rejoice in the sign. You don't ask for more of the sign. You go to where the sign points, which is to Jesus Christ himself. And this is why he says to the people then, why he says to you today, "I am the bread of life. I am the one sent from God. I am the one who crossed time and space. I am the one sent to give you eternal life. All the gifts that you have from me, I give them so that you can find me. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And that's not just a statement, but that's a promise. Whoever believes comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So yes, enjoy the bread of this life. But when you get that bread and still find that there's something missing, when you find that there's a hunger and thirst, that all the things of this world are unable to satisfy or to quench, look for that in Jesus. Come to him and receive what he gives, because he comes to give you himself. He comes to fill you with himself. And he comes to do it for more than one meal, more than 40 years in the wilderness. He comes to give you himself that you might live eternally. Our Lord Jesus Christ did do a greater sign. It is the sign of Jonah, the sign of one who spends 3 days in the belly of a whale and comes out alive, the sign of one who spends 3 days in the grave and then rises from the dead. He is the one who has conquered death. He is the one who has overcome sin. He is the one who, though we seek after lesser things, comes to give us the greater thing, which is himself. What sign will you do that we may believe? "I will die and rise again." And so he did. The one who descended in death has now ascended in life, and because he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, you too will live forever under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that you may have this bread of life, Jesus has come again today. Comes in his holy word, and he comes in this holy communion. As he places this bread and this wine into your mouth, he says, "This is my body, this is my blood. that you may believe in him, which is the work of God, and that you may grow in him, grow in mercy and in grace and in forgiveness and in his life, and that you may grow in his gifts, in prayer and in word and in faith and in him, and that we may grow together, one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. Here is Christ, and here is the bread of life that produces such a life. So if you're going to cross the sea for anything, cross the sea for this. Come for the imperishable bread of an imperishable life. Come, Jesus says, and feast on me. Come and live. Come, I am the bread of life. In Jesus' name.